It's safe to say that Daryl Friedman has had his share of challenges since he stepped into the role of CEDIA Global President and CEO in the fall of 2021. From COVID to the supply chain to inflationary economic conditions, CEDIA has weathered the storm and steadied the ship under Friedman's guidance. He talked to CE Pro about overcoming these challenges enough to earn him a 3-year contract extension. Hear all about it from Friedman's perspective in this week's podcast episode. Daryl Friedman, Global President and CEO of CEDIA. Thanks so much for joining the CE Pro podcast.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Arlen.
Great. Well, Daryl, I think the first place to start, obvious start, would be the latest news involving yourself about your contract with CEDIA having been extended through 2027. Congratulations on that. What does that mean to you, and what do you think it says about the leadership that you've brought to the association over the last few years?
Well, I'll start with sort of the personal feelings about it, then I'll move into the sort of the CEDIA professional side of it. Personally, it's just, I'm so excited to be able to continue this work, and it's just such an honor to serve this community. I've really just come to know it and love it. And so the fact that the board had the confidence to extend me is just personally something I'm just very happy about and excited to look forward to those next at least 3.5 years. And then for CEDIA, I think it just means, you know, continuity and just continuing on this path and having some leadership that is going to continue on a sort of a North Star. We've had a lot of changes in leadership at CEDIA over the years. And I think this board, you know, wanted to try somebody who didn't come from the industry. And I admit that, you know, I came from a related industry in music, but not from the smart home industry. So they wanted to try somebody who had experience as an association professional, and they kind of liked that and they wanted to continue on with that. So I think for CEDIA, it means continuing on our path and continuing to grow the organization and having that continuity.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think the stability is excellent in the executive leadership. So again, congratulations. And you segued pretty well into my next question was, you know, thinking back to when you were hired, how do you think that your perspective as someone who is a relative outsider, I know you said that obviously music is, you know, a tangential category to it, but and as an outsider to the custom integration and smart home industry, how do you think that has shaped your influence in this role?
Well, it's interesting. I really, you know, I learned so much by talking to our members, especially in the first 90 days. I traveled all over the world and talked to members from every market, and they taught me a lot about this industry. One of the things, first of all, I learned about how multifaceted it is. You know, I came into the industry knowing a lot about audio, but, you know, just the various sectors of this industry and how the growth opportunities for this. I also was coming on board right at the end or sort of toward the end of the pandemic. So it was very eye-opening just to see how important this industry is. It's not a luxury. I mean, this industry is an essential business now. In fact, during the pandemic, our integrators were treated as essential workers because the home became a central hub for everything in everyone's life. But the other thing that I just noticed, and it was a stark contradiction to my last industry, the music industry, was the collegiality of this. This is an industry and a community. Really, I would use the word community more than industry or channel, because I think they all want to help each other. They all want to help the sector grow. They all will share tips and tricks, even with their competitors. And there's just an interest here in elevating and leveling up this industry so the education is higher and the service is higher and that we just become a bigger and better industry. So it's great to kind of get that sense of community among the people.
Right. That's a great point to make, whether it's at CEDIA Expo or your tech and business summits, our Total Tech Summit, any of the buying group summits. I think everyone in the industry just really likes being around each other, for sure. Now, you mentioned, you know, when you came in, it was kind of the tail end of COVID. The integrators were essential during that, and some of them were really booming during COVID because of all the networking and outdoor entertainment and everything like that that people wanted to. But, you know, COVID aside, what have really been your biggest challenges that you faced during your tenure so far?
Well, I think in the early days, it was really trying getting the talent of this team working in a way that was logical and functional. Because individually, we have this amazing staff of people. They are talented, they're dedicated, they want to serve our members. But over the years, the organizational structure had changed, and I think kind of getting that into a logical semblance and logical verticals was important to get the team working in concert. And I think that's happening now. And I think the other challenge was the financials. We just, COVID was a big part of that, but it wasn't the only factor. But I think over the years, Cedia has just not really managed the financials that well. And there's also been a lot of investment in it. So I'm coming in on the tail end of at least 5 years of fiscal years in the red. So turning that around was key, I think, so we can grow the organization and continue to serve our members. So I'm happy to say 23 was the first break-even year in many, and then 24 is expected to be a good profitable year for us. And then we can turn that and invest that money back into our community.
Great. Well, definitely looking forward to hear how the rest of 2024 goes and into 2025 and, leading up to the next market research analysis report that you'll have a couple of years from now. That'll be interesting to see. So another big thing that I think you've really spearheaded since your time in the position that you've been in is the advocacy role that Cedia plays that, we really try to kind of pump up at CE Pro and give that some more publicity. So in recent years, you guys, at CD Expo, you had that really well-attended advocacy town hall breakfast. Just recently, last fall, you went to Lansing, Michigan for an advocacy day at their state capitol. And then recently was a really interesting one where you guys went to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. for the first, I think you called it the Day on the Hill, to meet with legislators. And you put that as, the first annual one. So it's probably a good thing to know that it'll be continuing on. But for those who don't know a lot about these efforts or the advocacy that your association does, why are they important to integrators and why do you really invest in your time in something like that?
Well, I've been involved in this part of the business for about 20 years. I'm actually based just outside Washington, D.C., and it was a part of my portfolio at the Grammy organization. And I learned one saying that was always something I learned from a congressman. I repeated it often, and it goes, "If you're not at the table, you're on the menu." And essentially, it means you've got to be in Washington. You've got to have your industry showing its face, making its case, and being out there out front. So when I came on board, I asked about advocacy at Cedia. And I was told, "Oh, yeah, advocacy is so important here. It's our best kept secret." And I chuckled and cried at the same time because we don't want advocacy to be a secret. We want it to be champion on top, from the mountaintops. So, as you said, the first CD Expo, I enlisted my colleague Darren Rearman, who's the director of government relations, and we held a town hall so the industry can really see what we had been doing. And what we had been doing was incredibly important, state by state work. Making sure that the licensing regime was friendly to our integrators, that the electrical industry didn't push us out of the states because they thought low voltage wires was something an electrician should handle. And that work had been ongoing for many years. It wasn't properly championed and touted the way it should have been, but that work was incredibly important. I would say existential in some ways to some integrators in certain states that may not be in business today had it not been for the work that CEDIA had been doing for the past 20 years. What I wanted to do is take that work and, of course, make it more known, but also expand that into some federal activities. And as you said, we sort of put flesh on the bones on the state work by going to Lansing in person and having meetings in the state capital in Michigan. We also wanted to show our industry, the federal government, that our industry is important, that we're here. So earlier this year, we filed comments with the FCC about their new cyber trust mark, and that's a new government initiative to put a sort of a symbol on device boxes that say these are compliant with cybersecurity. And we wanted to make sure that the federal government knew that the way to really guarantee cybersecurity is to have a professional integrator put that network in your home and just install those devices. So that was the first time that the integrator was actually on the record with the United States federal government. Then to expand on that, in March, of course, we had our first CD on the Hill Day, which was a great success. We had about 25 industry professionals, including our board. And we went to the Hill and sat down with members of Congress in the Capitol and told them what we do as a business and how important this business is. Started to plant the seeds for the next occupational code change, which we want to see integrators be part of that and really be established as its own industry, not part of the electrician trade. And also lobby for a workforce development bill that I think would bring in more talent in the industry, which is certainly something that every integrator knows they need very much to increase that talent pool.
Sure. And I know at last year's CEDIA Expo, it was the workforce part of it that was the focus of a breakfast as well, as you know, opposed to the previous year where you had the advocacy. Workforce development was one of your focuses during this past CEDIA Expo, which was awesome to see. I will put in a plug for our CE Pro podcast. We were lucky enough to have Darren Riemann join me a couple of episodes ago. I'll put a link to that. But yeah, if any integrator wants to know some more of the nitty-gritty details about what CEDIA does and what Darren does with his government affairs role, I'll put in the link to that and people can learn more about it that way. So Daryl, right. for the rest of 2024, is there anything you could share about, you know, the association's roadmap or some more important focuses that you're going to have looking at the rest of the year and ahead to maybe even the start of 2025?
Yeah, there's some critical things I think we'll be doing both sort of internally in our own community as well as externally. Internally, we really want to create that sense of community that we see at Expo, that we see at other in-person gatherings like our tech and business summits. We want to create that year round. We want to create that digitally. So we will be launching the CEDIA app this year. And that's going to be an important game changer for us so that our community can really be involved, stay in touch with each other, have the channels for special interests and specific topics, get content, even get education. And we're looking at all sorts of features that will be useful for an integrator who's on the job and may need some information at their fingertips. So kind of excited in terms of that sort of inward-facing, community-facing piece of the app. In terms of the external-facing piece, I mean, I think CEDIA's job is to make this industry and this profession known to the outside world. We've done a good job of that with designers, with our COI program and other programs for designers and architects and builders. We're going to do better on that. But I think where we really have opportunity is to the homeowner. And it's something I wanted to do since I started. And I think we now have the infrastructure and the website in place now to make this successful. But we really want, when the homeowner is looking for, you know, smart home, they don't know that much at the time. And they're searching online. They look up, you know, smart home. We don't want them to go to a big box store and say, oh, if I buy this device or these two devices, I have a smart home. We want them to understand the important role that an integrator plays in creating their smart home. And frankly, you know, if you're going to be putting a plumbing system in, you hire a professional. If you're going to be putting an electrical system in, you hire a professional. And these days, the smart home technology is so complex and so necessary to the infrastructure, you need a professional. So the consumer campaign is going to be launched this year. Very excited about that. We think we can intercept these folks as they're searching for knowledge about home technology and direct them to CEDIA members and help explain to them why it's important to use a professional to make sure that their home is operating as it should be.
Awesome. Well, that's something that, you know, we can get behind and that we've been on the same page for many years about doing that. So that'll be great to see when that comes out. And then certainly when the app launches, give us a holler and we'll be happy to publicize that because that sounds really exciting too.
Great.
So Daryl, getting back to what you said at the talking about the beginning of when you took over, you've had opportunities to meet with dealers all over the world, which must have been amazing to do. I was wondering, are there any lessons that you learned or any feedback that you got when you were on sort of that global tour, you know, about how they do their business models and anything that could be learned as takeaways for integrators in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly spoke to a lot of integrators in the U.S. as well as overseas. And I think, you know, in terms of, I got a lot of feedback about CEDIA. And, you know, CEDIA went through a major transition when CEDIA sold the trade show. And I think at that since that time, dealers and vendors and manufacturers were just kind of wondering how CEDIA can serve them. And what was really informed in those conversations about is about the non-transactional things that we can do for the industry. Everybody knows they can join CEDIA and get a discount to CEDIA Expo. They can get a discount to tech summits, free admission to our events, and a lot of great member benefits. But there are those intangible benefits, some what I call non-transactional benefits, that were clearly so important to these integrators around the world. it didn't matter what market, everybody was facing a labor shortage. I mean, it was clearly like a priority. It was the number one takeaway I took from all my meetings. So as a result of that, we launched CDN Next Gen, which is our program to bring in more talent to the industry. And of course, the Workforce Breakfast and the bills we're supporting on Capitol Hill are all as a result of what I heard from the integrators. So CDN has that opportunity to be responsive to the community and to see what their needs are and to help them. These are things that, you know, we don't make money on. They benefit everybody, whether you're a member or not. We bring in more people into the workforce. It benefits the industry as a whole. If we lobby for a bill that helps, it benefits the industry as a whole. But we believe, and I believe after meeting this community, that people will want to support CEDIA for doing these things and will want to be in the family and in the tent and have access to the app and have all those other benefits and know that they're supporting the good work that elevates this entire industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know certainly that just the labor shortage, the finding and recruiting and hiring people, just having the right people in place, that's certainly been a challenge that it seems like everyone in the industry faces, just an ongoing one. It actually kind of segues into my next question, which is about the state of the industry in general. Last year at the CEDIA Expo, my favorite panel that kicked off the Smart Stage was having you and all the leaders of the buying groups kind of give a state of the industry panel. And I think the first question I asked you guys all about was, you know, if you had a 1 to 10 scale, how would you rate the health of the industry? So, you know, a half year later, what would you say about the number that you would give it today and why?
Yeah, I remember that panel. I remember that question very specifically because you called on me first. So I had to go out with my member before the buying group heads. And I said 8. And I based that on the fact of what I'm hearing from the membership. When we do our survey, we don't just survey the financials and we don't just survey the sectors. We actually ask them about their insights into the future and how optimistic they are and how much growth they see. What do they see in the pipeline? And there is, even though, you know, at the time there was talk of a recession and economic factors, the industry was very optimistic. And as you went through that panel, everybody else kind of echoed that same kind of higher end of the scale. Everyone was like in sort of like a 7 or 8. So I think everyone's feeling that thing. I think this industry has nothing but growth ahead of it. So I'm still where I was then. I'm optimistic about the growth sector because people are understanding the need of technology in their homes, and every day they understand this more. And I think that this is going to be a great boon for our industry. And I think I just feel good about the growth to come.
Right. Same thing that we have at CE Pro. Obviously, even with a lot of the variables just going on in the world, when we did our own State of the Industry report that we published at the beginning of the year, a lot of the outlook was very positive. I forget the amount of growth that people were expecting this year, but I want to say it was somewhere between like 9 and 10 percent. So, you know, definitely saw that optimism, which was great to see. So, Daryl, before we close here, I just want to kind of close on a little bit of a lighter note. And, you know, I know that you've gotten to know so many of these companies and the membership and the channel really well, just from lots of talks and meetings with them. But, you know, we wanted to learn a little bit more about you. I thought it would be a great thing to have readers know as well. So, you know, if you want to share with us just what are some of the things you know, that you have as personal interests, hobbies, favorite movies, books, TV shows, anything like that where, you know, we're able to get to know Daryl Friedman a little bit better.
Well, yeah, I gave up my hobbies about 2 years and 3 months ago when I started this job because it is somewhat all-consuming. But I think the one thing that surprises people when I tell them is that I play the violin. So my background in music really goes back to that those first, you know, lessons as a kid, screeching out a horrible, horrible sound from that instrument. But I still love it, and I still love music. Still sort of my main passion. Love movies. I would say the only thing that's changed since I've taken this job about movies is that I no longer can watch the movie Bohemian Rhapsody because every showroom I went to shows that Wembley's stadium clip as their demo clip, as a reference clip. So I've seen that now probably 100 times. But yeah, I do love that. I have a dog, and my wife and I love, you know, hanging out with our dog. And yeah, and I love the technology. I you know, on a personal note, I just literally last week moved my parents into a senior facility. and realized something by having this job that I would never have known before, is that how much this technology can help them, people with mobility issues, people who need to make a phone call without dialing up, without pushing buttons on a phone, or have a door open. So I actually worked with I'm working with an integrator in their town to kind of help outfit their home. So I just see the advantages of this. I know I'm coming back to the job when you ask me a personal question, but I just see that the advantages in all of our lives of this technology and what it can do for people. So it's kind of the merging of my personal life and my professional life.
Yeah, that's perfectly okay to share, and especially when we've seen healthcare and wellness technology, really come to the forefront over the last few years. I've certainly talked to people who are getting more jobs in assisted living facilities and, remote home tech, healthcare tech, things like that. So, I think that's very good for you to point out. And on the other note, I was almost going to ask you, how much time do you actually get to see some of the awesome demos going on at the CD Expo, but it sounds like you're in the same category as me, where you've seen the same clips over and over and over again. And maybe we're hoping for some new ones coming up. But yeah, between Top Gun Maverick and Bohemian Rhapsody
And
and
Star is Born.
A Star is Born, exactly. We need some new clips. So hopefully we'll see some this year. It's certainly a call out to the exhibitors to do that, even if it's just for Daryl and just for me. So great. Well, on that note, Daryl Friedman, the global president and CEO of CEDIA, thanks so much for joining me. I really enjoyed the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Always great talking to you, and thanks for being such a supporter of CEDIA.